17. I couldn't have leapt to my feet if my life depended on it. Foxy was crouched over me, and Bongo was trying to stand over me protectively, and also to hide underneath me in terror. When a minute or two had passed, and my heart was slowing, and I still wasn't dead, I whispered, "Is it gone?" "Think so," said Foxy. "If there was ever anything there, which I ain't entirely sure of." I looked up at her silently. She snorted and looked back down the tunnel. "Fine, okay," she said. "Yeah, it's gone." I breathed for a few minutes. The sky was gray. Bare trees hung on the hills like, yes, like curtains in a dark room. Bongo hunched down and fit himself under my knees as best he could. I kept thinking it was a woodpecker before, I said finally. "Can see why." I didn't say, "Do you think there were two of them?" because I didn't think I could handle it if she said yes. "Do you think it was trying to keep us from getting here?" I asked instead. "Something was," said Foxy. She held out her left hand. There was a raw red stripe across her fingers and palm, as if something had taken the top layer of skin off. Blood beaded at the edges. "Foxy, it's fine," she said. "I mean, it hurts like the devil, but it's not deep. It was where I had your backpack. Toward the end there, it felt like a handful of nettles." I grabbed my backpack strap as if expecting it to be made of sandpaper, but it just felt like normal nylon. "Expect it was meant for me, not you," said Foxy matter-of-factly. "I felt it before, too. I'm not supposed to come along." "Why would it want that?" "Who knows what the holler people want?" She grinned sourly. "Maybe they figure my ratty old bones won't look good on their mantelpiece. And mine will? Hey, maybe you got cute bones." I started laughing, half high on adrenaline, and stood up. Bongo, reassured that everything was all right again, licked the back of my hand. I dug my fingers in behind his ears as I looked around the hillside. The sky was the same shade of gray as before. If sunset was coming on, there was no sign of it. It was gray, gray, gray. A wicked, voorish dome. Under the sky, the hills, same as before. And the trees that hung like curtains on the hillsides were still bare. I wondered if they ever leafed out at all. Were there even seasons in this place? "Shit," said Foxy, looking around. And then, more quietly, "Shit." "Eloquent," I said. "Is it like you remember?" "Yeah, pretty much. Only," she waved her hand, "more." I nodded. It had been only, what, 10 days? 11? But my memory had whittled down some of the edges of the place. It wasn't that I didn't remember it. It was just that the reality was indeed more. The tree slithering out from under the stones was more like a snake. The leering carvings were stranger and sharper, and the animals twisted themselves more grotesquely in pain or in ecstasy. As if my mind hadn't quite been able to hold everything. No, wait. The girl in the green book had described the trees like snakes. Maybe that had gotten into my head somehow, too. "Which way?" said Foxy. "I have no idea." I hefted my backpack. "I still don't even know if Bongo was here when he got the note. We might be in completely the wrong place." "Never stopped me before," said Foxy. "The white stone's this way," I said. The white stone, yes, the white stone, the tall one, the one that's carved with something that you need to see again. My voice sounded totally normal, and the fact that I suddenly had a weird, itchy desire to see the white stone again didn't seem to impact it. I could touch it. I could figure out the carvings this time. Would it be warm or cold, smooth or rough? In my dream, it had been cold, and I tried to warm it. Get a place to start as any. Of course, she couldn't know that I wanted to see it. I shouldn't tell her. It would make me sound weird or controlled by the holler people, when the fact was that... Oh, it doesn't matter. Stop worrying and start walking. Past the carvings, the scowling ones, and the ones like animals, and the ones that lay down like dead things. And I twisted myself around like, shut up, just shut up, get to the white stone. Ugly little bastards, muttered Foxy, eyeing the scowling stones. Don't try to imitate them, I said. They don't like that. Or they like it a lot. I don't know which. Foxy gave me a sharp look. You okay? Yeah, Sorry, it's this place. I rubbed my forehead. Brain fog. But the stones, yeah. I tried to make a face like one the last time, and I shouldn't have. I was almost able to. I thought I was going to dislocate my jaw. Foxy raised her eyebrows. Huh. Yeah, I sort of forgot about that. I tried not to make eye contact with the grinning faces in the rocks. It seemed so crazy, and it's all crazy, and I was afraid I was going crazy, so I figured it was just my mind playing tricks and maybe I had a muscle spasm or something. But now I think it was probably real. Probably. Foxy shook her head. These things. If Skip was here, he could tell us what kind of carving it is. He went to some fancy art school out west, and every now and again he'll come out with, that's postmodern pre-Raphaelitism or something like that. I don't know if they covered things like this in art history class. The stones that lay down like the dead ones were curled in the grass in front of us. I guess we could take a photo for him. Foxy snorted. I didn't bring a camera. Kind of doubt things would come out real well, even if I had. I remembered the way that my one photo had come out overexposed, looking like a bad Photoshop of somebody's fingerprint. Probably. Bongo gave the dead ones a wide berth. He didn't seem frightened of them, but he definitely didn't want to get too near them, as if they were a hole in the ground he was afraid to fall into. Maybe they're a hole in the world, and if you look too long, you'll fall through. The lines seemed to swim in front of me as if they were breathing. I felt dizzy and hot. It's just like being seasick. The horizon's wrong. Go find the white stone, use it as an anchor, and everything will settle down again. The white stones past these, I said, careful to keep my eagerness out of my voice. My hands appeared to be shaking. That was very odd. It wouldn't do to let Foxy see that. She'd get the wrong idea. I shoved them in my jacket pockets as well as I could while holding Bongo's leash. Something jabbed me in the knuckles. My head seemed to clear abruptly. Wait, what? Foxy? Eh? This is odd. I want to see that white stone again. She looked over at me, faintly puzzled. We're going there, ain't we? No, I mean, I suddenly really wanted to, and I didn't want to tell you about it, and I think that's weird and suspicious. Her gaze sharpened. Now, that's interesting. Good on ye for fighting it. I don't think I was fighting it, I admitted. I dug around in my jacket pocket for what had jabbed me and pulled out a twig. I poked myself with this. Is that hickory? Yeah, from outside the coffee shop. Foxy nodded. Hickory'll help. I'm wearing like a pound of it myself. You still got that rosary in my backpack? Well, put it on then. You think evil's gonna sit around and wait while you get dressed? Chastened, I pulled out the string of hickory beads and dropped it over my head. The air seemed to lighten. The twisted carvings still moved when I looked at them, but they moved less, more like a bad moiré pattern than like breathing. I thought of the white stone carefully, as if I were probing a sore spot with my tongue. Big white rock. Some weird stuff going on with that rock. How we feeling about that rock? I had no particular opinion about the rock, other than that it was another creepy thing on the pile of increasingly creepy things. I was pretty sure that it was another rock like the one in the green book, and thus there was a slim chance it might try to get me pregnant, and that I was a bit miffed at it for apparently trying to get into my head. I reported this to Foxy. Complicated old world, isn't it? She said. She had picked up a stick somewhere and was poking the dead twisted one with it. Are you sure you should be doing that? Look, if it's gonna come to life and take a chunk out of me, I'd rather it did now than when my back was turned. There was a certain logic to this position. The dead twisted one did not take a chunk out of her, despite several solid pokes with the stick. I think Foxy might have been slightly disappointed. On the far side of the dead ones was a little space, and then more carvings. I remembered walking through them for a long way, but I wasn't sure how long it had been. I hadn't exactly been in my right mind, had I? I'd been singing, "Oh, Susanna," and it had gotten a bit strange after that. This is farther than I got, said Foxy. I guess we just keep walking then. So we walked through more carvings, some of them very large indeed, and anchored down in the ground somehow. I didn't remember those. Had it been some enchantment? Some wicked vor that the hickory was keeping away? And then I saw the white stone. It gleamed in the dim light like a tooth. There was the grassy bowl around it, and the ferns around the base, and the carvings of something. We stopped at the top of the bowl. The stones around the rim leaned inward, toward the stone, and I wondered vaguely if it was acting on their brains the way it had acted on mine. Settle down. They're rocks. They don't have brains. Although up here in this place, who the hell knows? Maybe they do. In the Green Book, isn't there a bit where the narrator wonders if her family all got turned to stones? Maybe these are all the people who got stuck up here. The moonshiners and the frat boys and whatnot. I squeezed the hickory twig tightly between my fingers, but the thoughts didn't go away. Apparently, that was just me being paranoid, not any kind of magic. Huh, said Foxy, looking at the stone. Do you feel like you want to go touch it? I asked hesitantly. I wanted to. The first time I saw it? I do. She said slowly. But I ain't going to. I can feel the wanting to, though. It's like a pretty boy you know is more trouble than he's worth. She folded her arms and glared at the stone, and I pitied any pretty boy who had caused her trouble in the past. This is the second time I'm seeing it, I said. I think I'm supposed to be pregnant now. We'll get you a test when we get back home, hey? It'd have to get past the IUD first. Weird and creepy as the white stone was, I had a hard time imagining it was a match for that. What about you? Hun, if I get knocked up, it won't be magic. It'll be a goddamn miracle. She craned her neck, looking around the stone. What's on the other side? I shook my head. This is as far as I got. I saw the stone, and things got a little weird. I glanced down at Bongo. He was watching the stone intently, the way he watched cars out the window sometimes. Was it going to go past the house? Or was it the UPS guy and thus his mortal enemy? It was so quiet here. There was no wind to ripple the grass of the bald or move clouds in the heavy gray sky. I couldn't hear any insects calling, or frogs, or birds. No woodpeckers. "Let's go around," Foxy said finally. We skirted the rim of the grass bowl. Bongo continued to watch the stone, his whole body taut, his ears straining forward. On the far side, we looked back at the white stone, and Foxy gave a single bray of laughter. Bongo yanked on the leash, startled, and then gave her a reproachful glance. "Sorry, buddy," she said to him. "Well, that's a hell of a thing, isn't it?" I stared at Ambrose's white stone and almost wanted to laugh myself. From this side, it was obvious. It was two beings, and they were, not to put too fine a point on it, screwing like rabbits. Well, it wasn't like it was a surprise. Ambrose's white stone was clearly kin to this one. I just hadn't been expecting it to be quite so vivid. They were carved in much the same style as the rest of the stones, deeply scored lines that moved too much when you saw them from the corner of your eye. The top one had great curving horns, like a ram, and he was pulling back the head of his partner by her own horns, which were long and twisting, like an antelope's. Her throat seemed very thick, like a beast's neck, and her face protruded into a muzzle like a beast. But her body was mostly human, if oddly proportioned. Speaking of proportions, well, he had nothing to worry about in that department. "That one I'd put in the front yard," said Foxy cheerfully, "just to see the mailman's face." "Huh," I said weakly. The longer I looked, the less funny it got. Which is odd, because, frankly, sex is hilarious. But the carvings were so detailed, and the moiré pattern movement made the bodies undulate and seem to thrust together. And I was starting to get dizzy looking at it, and I remembered the dream where I pressed myself against the white stone. Was the female beast enjoying it? Her mouth was open in what could have been passion or agony. My head ached. I could feel a pulse beating in my right eye and in my temples and between my legs. Dear God, was I getting turned on by the carving? "I gotta sit down," I said. "Not right here," suggested Foxy, taking my arm. She steered me away from the stone. Once I was no longer looking at it, it got easier. My pulse stopped beating in my ears. Or anywhere else. "What the hell is that thing?" I asked after a few minutes of sitting on the grass with my back to the carving. I know it's stupid, but I felt like... And then I blushed, which was nuts. The entire situation was completely batshit loony, and here I was blushing because among the batshit loony things was a statue with a big honking dick on it. "It's okay, hon. If I was a few years younger, well," she shook her head, "I'm old enough to know better, but it's still got a wallop, doesn't it?" A wallop. Yes, that was as good a description as any. Bongo sat down and scratched behind his ear. Apparently, it didn't work on dogs, or on males, or at least on males whose testicles were a distant vet-related memory. "I guess old Ambrose was onto something after all," I said. "If he's expecting us to get preggers from looking at it, he's still gonna be pretty disappointed. Had those bits out years ago," Not that they were doing me a hell of a lot of good anyway, but it'd be a bitch to get cancer in a bit I ain't using.
I hear you, I said absently, petting Bongo.
I don't know. Do you think the girl, whoever she was, actually got pregnant looking at a statue? Oh, who the hell knows? For all I know, it just got her thinking about it, and she went and found some nice young fella to get her in the family way. From the way your granddaddy talked about Ambrose, he'd have found that a lot more shocking than looking at a statue. Foxy snorted.
Certain sort of man would probably prefer it if sex was all looking at statues and no actual poking.
It is very likely that she did, said a voice behind us, and bore a child of it, or more than one. Foxy and I both jerked upright.
Bongo, valiant guard dog that he was, looked up and wagged his tail. There was a woman standing there. She was very tall and very pale. Even her eyes were pale. Her irises were flecked with red, and her pupils were the faded gray color of the sky.
I have borne 7, she said. 5 drew no breaths. Of the other 2, but we will speak of that later. Where had she come from? Why hadn't we heard her?
Who are you?
Said Foxy, her chin jutting out. My name is Anna, said the woman. She pronounced it with a long first syllable, Anna. I am one of the people of this place.
I saw motion out of the corner of my eye. It was the same twisting moiré pattern as the stones, but when I turned my head, there was a man standing there. He was as tall as she was, and I suppose he was handsome, but there was something odd about his skin. He did not speak, but took his place beside the woman. He was even paler than she was. Both of them had hair that was not so much white as completely colorless, like mist. Anna folded her hands together.
You will come with me now, she said.
It was not a request, but a statement of fact. Foxy tried to push back nevertheless.
What if we don't?
The pale woman shook her head. And then I heard it. The click of bones, the hollow rattle of stones knocking together.
Bongo's wagging stopped, and a whine started up in his throat. Shapes began to appear out of the gloom behind her, coming from behind the stones or from inside the earth itself. The air twisted and untwisted until my eyes watered, but I could still see them all too well.
Effigies. Dozens of them.
Not on the other side of the window, not with walls between us.
Right here. Right now. Talk, talk, talk.
I sucked in my breath and honestly did not know if I would ever draw another one.
You have no choice, the woman said,
as monsters of stone and bone surrounded her.
You have trespassed into deep places, and the only way out is deeper still.